Okay, good morning, everybody. Happy Hanukkah to everyone. So Marenu is apparently not yet all the way back from California, so you have to deal with me today again. We are on Baba Kama, Daf Lamed Ches. We left off yesterday, Lamed Ches Amid Aleph, at the very top of the Amud, so we're going to start with Shor Shel Yisrael, which is the second line on Lamed Ches Amid Aleph. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Le'ashalom. It's also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and captives. And finally, it's sponsored by Avi and Esti Goldstein and family, Zecha Nishmas, their beloved son Zachary Goldstein, Chaim Svi ben Avram, upon his 50 yard site, which is this Shabbos. Unclear to me from the Nusach whether it's this coming Shabbos or was this Shabbos, but either way, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. We thank these sponsors very much for their sponsorship of this year. So today we are essentially, it's a pretty nice daf for Baba Kama actually, so thank God I lucked out. But today we're going to continue the discussion that we began yesterday with the Mishnah. We've been dealing with various situations of when one shor gores another. Yesterday we saw the concept of having a shor that's not really a mu'ad, but it's partly a mu'ad. It's a mu'ad for some animals, but not for others. It's a mu'ad for some times and not for others. And at the end of the daf, we covered a Mishnah which said, by the way, the whole concept of tam and mu'ad, where the tam pays chatzi nezek and the mu'ad pays nezek shalem, that's only where a privately owned shor gores another privately owned shor. However, where a privately owned shor gores a shor of hektish, or where a shor owned by a Jew gores a shor owned by a guy, then the halachos would not be the same. So in the Mishnah we saw yesterday that if a shor that's privately owned gores a shor owned by hektish, we saw the Mishnah that said that it's putter both ways. Then we saw Reb Shimon Shita, who said that no, if the hektish shor gores your shor, then you're out of luck. But if your shor gores the hektish shor, you're chayv to pay nezek shalem. Okay, today we're going to discuss the second part of that Mishnah, which is what happens if a shor owned by a Jew gores a shor owned by a guy, or vice versa. What happens in that case? In the context of that conversation, we're going to talk about why it is that we might impose a penalty on Goyim, because we'll see that the conclusion that the Gemara reaches in terms of liability does not appear to be fair. It doesn't appear to be symmetrical in terms of the liability that the Jew owes to the guy if his shor gores the guy shor versus if the guy shor gores the Jew shor. So we're going to see why exactly the situation might be different. We're going to talk about Godel Metzuva Vosa Yosa Mimi Sheina Metzuva Vyosa. We're going to recount, honestly, what, if I could say it, like a pretty strange shiva call that one of the Amaron paid. And you'll see what I mean when we get to it. And then we're going to talk about Kutim. We're going to talk about the halachic status of Kutim, whether Kutim were considered to be Gere Arayos, whether we're considered to be Gere MS, and various practical nafkaminas that has. So one of the nafkaminas it's going to have is, what happens if a Shor Shel Yisrael gores a Shor Shel Kuti? Do we consider that Shor Shel Kuti to be like a Shor Shel Yisrael, in which case, going both ways, if it's a Tam, it would be Chayv Chatzi Nezek. If it's a mu'ud, it would be chayev nezek shalem. Or do we view the kutim as gerei arayos, meaning that they're not real full-fledged Jews, in which case the shor of a kuti would have the same status as a goy. And then we're going to talk about other scenarios involving a kuti as well. For example, dam shel kuti, if you have menstrual blood of a kuti woman, is that metame or not? What happens if a Jewish guy goes rogue and starts sexually assaulting women who are not Jewish, but they're kutim? So does he have to pay a fine if he assaults a kuti woman? So that's going to be at the end of the daf. We left off again, Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, second line on the Amud. So says the Gemara as follows, Shor Shel Yisrael Shenagach Shor Shel Kenani Pater. So that's what the Mishnah told us. If a shor owned by a Jew gores a shor owned by a guy, the Jew is going to be pater from paying the guy. But the Mishnah had also told us that Shel Kanani Shenagach L'Shor Shel Yisrael Bein Tam Bein Mu'ad Meshalem Nezek Shalem, that it doesn't work the other way. The other way, if the shor owned by a goy gores the shor owned by a Jew, regardless, he's going to have to pay full nezek. So says the Gemara, that is not fair, and that's inconsistent. Forgetting about not being fair. So Amri Mimanavshach Irei Eyu Dafka. Again, the pasuk told us Shorei Eyu. So from the fact that it says Shorei Eyu, it would be mistaber to say that the only time you're going to be chayiv is if your shor gores an ox that is owned by Rei Eyu. Rei Eyu meaning another Jew. But says the Gemara, I amrit amri mimanavshach. I reyehu dafka deknani kinagach liyisrael nami lifter. If reyehu is dafka, meaning the only time you have this liability at all is when a shor owned by a Jew gores a shor owned by another Jew, then when the shor that's owned by the goy gores the shor that's owned by the Jew, he should also be potter, because the chiyuv only exists in the situation of reyehu, and over here we don't have reyehu because the goy is not your friend. He's not considered to be Reyehu. Be Reyehu Lavdavka, and if Reyehu is Lavdavka, in other words, just kidding, when the Pasuk said Reyehu, you're going to be Chayiv either way, then Afilu D'Yisrael, Ki Nagach Teknani Nechayiv. So in that case, why is the Shor owned by a Jew Potter if it gores a Shor owned by a Kanani? In other words, if Reyehu is Dafka, the Potur should work both ways. If Reyehu is Lavdavka, the Chayiv should apply both ways. So says the Gemara, Amra Vavo, Amar Kra, because there's a pasuk that we're going to darshan that says, this pasuk is in Sefer Chabakuk, it says, Amod Vayimodeid Eretz, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood and judged the world, Ra V'yater Goyim. He released the Goyim. So what does it mean, he released the Goyim? So Ra Shevas Mitzvah Shekiblu Aleim B'nei Noach, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, that they were makabel on themselves, one of which was to set up a justice system, that they had to set up a justice system to rightly compensate people for damage that was caused upon them. And Kivan Shalom Kimo, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the Jews only had Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, it was pretty easy, it's not 613, it's only 7, but they weren't even able to be Mekayim them, Amad Vehitzer Mamonam Li Yisrael. So he was Matir their Mamon to the Jewish, he was Matir their Mamon to the Jewish people. And so from this pasuk where it says Vayater Goyim, that he released the Goyim, what it means is he released the Jewish people from having to pay the Goy in a scenario where he would have been chayev had he done the same thing to a Jew. And Tosfa says over here, there's a lot to talk about here, but Tosfa says here, Dibra Maskal Amad, that Mashma Davka bin Yenzesh, Shenagach Shor Shalonu Shor Shalahem, that the only time we apply this concept of Vayater Goyim, that the exclusion or the release of the Goy was only in as much that the Jew doesn't have to pay for damage that his shor causes to a Goy shor. And points out Tosfos, so Laman D'Amar Perek Basra, Gezel Kanani Osir Nicha, Aval Laman D'Amar Mutar Kasha, says Tosfos, this works only according to the Man D'Amar. There's a famous Machlokas later in the Masechta, whether Gezel Kanani is Mutar or Asr. Are you allowed to steal from Kananim? Or does the Isser of Losigzol only apply to Jewish people? Okay, so there is a Machlokas. Does it apply to Goyim or does it not? So it says Tosfos, according to the Man D'Amar, it says that it applies to Goyim, so Gezel Kanani is Asr. So I understand the concept of Vayater Goyim, the release of the Goy, only applies as to this nezek, that as legabe nezek, you don't have to pay the guy, but otherwise it's usher to steal from the guy. However, according to the Man D'Amar, it says that Gezel Kanani is mutter, it's not only in the case of nezek that you don't have to pay the guy, you're allowed to go literally steal from the guy. So it says Tosfos, this is obviously only talking about the Man D'Amar. This is within the Shita of the Man D'Amar, who says that Gezel Kanani is going to be usher by and large. And the Mefarshim over here, they struggle with why would it be that we're allowed to have free reign over the Mamon Shel Akum? Like, why is it that if in a regular situation, if my shor gored somebody else's shor and the guy was a Jew, I would have to pay him, but all of a sudden, because the victim is a guy, I don't have to pay him? So the Aruch Chaim says it's mistaber that the Jewish people are entitled to usurp the money of the Goyim because the entire world was created for the Jewish people, so the Goyim sort of owe us, if you will, because without us the world wouldn't exist. The Rambam has a more rationalist approach. He said no, because all we're doing is we're applying the halachas that exist in the Goyish legal system. That in the Goyish legal system, if a shor owned by one Kanani gored a shor owned by another Kanani, they'd be potter. There's no damages for that. So if you're a Jewish guy and your shor gores a guy, gores a shor owned by a guy, then you're not going to be chayav either, because even in his court, you wouldn't be you wouldn't be chayav. The Ravid argues and says, I don't know what the Rambam's talking about, because where he lives, where the Ravid lived, in the Goyish court, Yitaka would be chayav if you got into a car accident or a shor accident. You would be chayav. So the Ravid therefore says that the reason that if a Jewish shor gores a goyishar, you're going to be potter, is because for the reason that the Gemara says it's a penalty, because they weren't mekayim the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Why, if a goyishar gores a Jewish shar, obviously when I say that I'm just shorthand for a shar owned by a goy, gores a shar owned by a Jew, why are they chayiv? Because if they wouldn't be chayiv, then they would never watch their animals. So it's sort of like, and it's a deterrent to help them to make sure that they watch their animals. The Meiri says that this only applies where the goyim don't have a legal system. And in other words, if by the goyim it's a free-for-all, then yeah, if your shar gore is a shar owned by a goy, you don't have to pay. However, if there is a legal system that the goyim abide by, and they have a rule of law, then this halacha doesn't apply, and therefore the Miri says, Bizmanenu, this halacha doesn't apply. Okay, but that was one of the makara. There was one makara in the Gemara that said, from the pasuk that says, Vayatar Goyim in Chabakuk, we learned that we have free reign over the assets of Goyim, meaning that if our shor gore is a shor owned by a guy, we don't have to pay, but if his shor gore is a shor owned by a Jew, he does have to pay. He has to pay Nezek Shalem. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mehacha. Rabbi Yochanan says that we learn it from here. Hofia Mehar Paran, he revealed from our Paran. Me Paran, Hofia Mamonam Li Yisrael. From Paran, he revealed their money to Klal Yisrael. So in other words, the pshat over here is that what happened in Har Paran? Afiyam Har Paran is talking about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the nations of the world and he offered them the Torah, and everybody declined except for Klal Yisrael, who was Mekabel the Torah. In other words, they should have been Mekabel the Torah, and they didn't, and that's why on Har Paran, from Har Paran, where they turned down the opportunity to be Mekabel the Torah, that's when we were given free reign over the assets of the Goyim. The Meretzchias explains that Mehar is a riff on the word Mohar, like which is the dowry in Exuva. So Afia Mehar Paran, when they turned down the Torah, they lost the dowry, meaning that now Klal Yisrael has free reign over money belonging to Goyim. So Tanya Nami Achi, so we learn the following. So we learn similarly, Shar Shal Yisrael Shanagach Shar Shal Kanani Potter. If a Shar owned by a Jew gores a Shar owned by a guy is going to be Potter. Shar Shal Kanani Shanagach Shar Shal Yisrael Bein Tamei Mua Mishalem Nezek Shalem. Like the Halach on the Mishnah, Shenemar Omad Vayimodet Eretz Ra Vayater Goyim Viomer Hofia Mear Paran. And so now this Brisa cites both of these psukim that we brought down in the Gemara. My viomer, so why do we need two sources? In other words, one source is enough to teach me that if an asset owned by a Jew causes damage to an asset owned by a guy, the Jew is not going to be chayev for the damage that his asset causes. Why do you need two rayas here? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. V'chite mahai amad vayimodet eretz. If you want to tell me that that pasuk in Chabakuk of amad vayimodet eretz, mi boy le lechad Rav Masin lechad Rav Yosef, that it has to teach me that lach of Rav Masin Rav Yosef, satashma ofia me'ar paran. So we also have the pasuk of ofia me'ar paran, me paran ofia mamonam li Yisrael, that from Paran, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Klal Yisrael have free reign over the money of Goyim. Says the Gemara, so if I would have needed the Pasuk and Chabakuk to teach me the halacha of Rav Masna and Rav Yosef, what are those halachas? So my Rav Masna, what's halacha of Rav Masna? Dima Rav Masna, Amar v'yimodet eretz ra, ma ra, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu see? Ra, sheva mitzvah, shenestavu aleim b'nei Noach, v'lo kimum. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, that he commanded them to keep, that they didn't keep. Amar v'higla osam e'al admasam. So he stood up and he exiled them from their location, from where they live. How do I know that the vayater, the word that says vayater, which really means released, is a lashon of exile? Because it says over here, vayater goyim, that he released the goyim. And it says elsewhere, linater behem ala aretz, that it says, linater behem, this is in Sefer Vayikra, linater behem ala aretz, umetar geim, lekafza behon al artsa, al ara, to exile them, to make them jump away from their land. So, in other words, Rav Masna needs his pasuk of Amad v'yimodet aretz to teach me not that the money is free, but rather that God exiled the Goyish people. And my Rav Yosef, what's halacha Rav Yosef? Damar Rav Yosef, Amad v'yimodet eretz ra, that ma ra, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu see? Ra, sheva mitzvah shekiblu aleim b'nei Noach v'lo kimum. He saw the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach that they were mekabel on themselves, but they didn't fulfill. Amad v'tirulam v'tirulam. And you know what? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? Forget it. You don't have to abide by the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach again. Now they're going to be mutter to you. Says the Gemara, is gura yisker. In that case, they gain. In other words, God gave them seven measly commandments. They couldn't listen to them, so God said, you know what, you don't have to fulfill them. So if we don't like a certain losa, say, we could just not listen to it, and then God's going to say, you don't have to do it. So in other words, isn't it a benefit to the Goyim? Zimkei matzinu chotzen iskar. The people who do averos are going to be going to benefit from it. So Amar Mar Braid the Ravina Lomar Shafilu Makaymeno Seim Akabelan Leim Schar. No, you're such a taking such a short-sighted view. Is that better for them that God released them from their obligation to fulfill the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach? It means that even if they were to fulfill those Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, they still wouldn't be Makabel Schar. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the opportunity for them to be Makabel Schar for fulfilling basic mitzvahs, which should form the fundamental precepts of any society. Says the Gemara, Velo, they're not Makabel Schar? What are you talking about? Vatani Rav Meir Omei Minayin Shafilu Nochri V'Osek B'Torah Shuka Kohen Gadol. That if a Nochri learns Torah, not only is he Makabel Schar, he's mamish like the Kohen Gadol. So before we continue, so just the Rashba points out that when we say the Nochri is, that the Nochri is Osek B'Torah, it means he's Osek in the Sheva Mitzvah's B'nei Noach. But if he actually is Osek B'Torah, like if he decides he's a guy, he doesn't want to convert, but he wants to fulfill all the mitzvahs in the Torah, then says the Rashba, he's like a ball, Naro Marasa, because it's like he has a woman who he could have a permitted relationship with, but he dafka wants to violate the woman. So in other words, he could have a permitted relationship with the entire corpus of Torah by converting to Judaism, but he doesn't want to. He wants to do it when he's a guy. That guy's an Oisvarv. He's like a ball, Naro Marasa. However, and also that's a play because, right, Torah Tziva Lono Moshe, Marasha Kilos Yaakov, and Marasha is like Marasa. So we're talking about where the guy just wants to perform the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. But it's saying a good thing, he's like the Kohen Gadol. Why does the Pasuk, why does the Gemara rather compare him to a Kohen Gadol? It's a pretty weird comparison. You could say he's a great guy, he's like a Talmud Chacham, why the Kohen Gadol? So Tosfos, Dibri Amaskal Harei, he says, Hodinaka Kohen Gadol, the reason that the Gemara seizes on the comparison to the Kohen Gadol, Mishum that there's Shinim Besota, because we're Darshan and Mesecha Sota, Yikara Himipninim, that the Torah is more precious than pearls. But the Gemara, their darshans, make Kohen Gadol haniknas lifnai v'lifnim. That the Torah is even greater than Pninim, the Kohen Gadol who enters lifnai v'lifnim, the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. And that's why we want to compare the status of a guy who's Mekayim, the Sheva Mitzvahs, B'nai Noach, we compare him to a Kohen Gadol. So says the Gemara a little bit weiter. Tamalomar Asher Yasa Osa Adam V'Chay Ba'em Kohanim V'Levim V'Yisraelim Lo Nemar Ela Adam Halamadata Shafilu Nochri V'Osik B'Torah Reu Kohen Gadol. That it says V'Chay Ba'em. It doesn't say only Kohanim get the benefit. Only Levim. Only Yisraelim get the benefit. Anybody who fulfills the mitzvahs gets the benefit. So that which you told me that the Goyim lost out when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, you know what, you don't have to perform the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach because now they can't be Mekabel Schar. Of course they're Mekabel Schar because we learned that if a Goy is Osek in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, he's considered to be on the same status as the Kohen Gadol, the same stature as the Kohen Gadol. Says the Gemara, yeah, they are Mekabel Schar, but they're not Mekabel as much Schar as they otherwise would have been able to. Amri, ein mekabel anayam schar kemitzuva v'yosa, ela kemisha ein mitzuva v'yosa. They're not mekabel schar like a mitzuva v'yosa, they're only mekabel schar like an ein mitzuva v'yosa, because they're not commanded in this mitzvah. The Amar Rav Chanina, gadol ha mitzuva v'yosa, yosa memisha ein mitzuva v'yosa, because somebody is mitzuva v'yosa is going to get more schar than somebody who is ein mitzuva v'yosa, and that is the schar that the Goyim lost out on. Yes, they do get a minimal amount of schar for performing these mitzvahs, but they don't get as much schar as they otherwise could have gotten. Tosfos explains the reason that Godel Mitzuva V'osa Mimisha Eina Mitzuva V'osa is because if somebody is Mitzuva V'osa, if somebody is Mitzuva to do a mitzvah, he has to fight with his Yetzirah, because his Yetzirah is trying to convince him to not do the mitzvah. So if he actually does the mitzvah, it means he overcame his battle with the Yetzirah. Whereas if he's Eina Mitzuva, then the Yetzirah to avoid doing the mitzvah is not as strong. So the Vikuach with the Yetzirah is going to be much more impressive when he is Mitzuva. When he is mitzuva v'osa. So the Tosfos Arash explains that also the reason that the schar is greater is simply it's one of svara, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands you to do the mitzvah, then when you do the mitzvah, you're not only doing the mitzvah, but you're also performing Ratzon Hashem. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't command you to do the mitzvah, and you do the mitzvah, you're doing a good deed, but you're not fulfilling Ratzon Hashem because God never commanded you to do the mitzvah. Okay, so that's what the Goyim lost out lost out on for not performing the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach. And that was all the drusha of Rav Masna. Now, says the Gemara Vayter at the two dots, Tana Rabbanan, the Kvar Sholka Malchus Romi Shnei Sardiotos Eitzel Chachmei Yisrael, that the Malchus Romi I should also mention before we continue that this whole concept of Godel Mitzuva V'yosa Mishena Mitzuva V'yosa is the makor for the Fatal Machalukas between Ashkenazim and the Sfardim. What about women? So women, if they're in a Mitzuva V'yosa, let's say that the Mitzvah Seish has Mangrama, that they're not obligated to perform, but they perform the Mitzvah, do they make a Birchas HaMitzvah on the Mitzvah or not? Minig Ashkenazim, yes. Minig of the Sfardim is no, and that's all based on this concept of mitzvah v'yosa, ain't a mitzvah v'yosa, because whenever we make a bracha, we say asher kedushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu, and how can we say v'tzivanu if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command us? So again, fundamental machlokas between Ashkenazim and Sfardim, do we make a mitzvah in that circumstance? Says the Gemara Vayter, Tana Rabbanan, v'kvar shulcha malchus romi shnei sardiotos eitzel chachmei Yisrael, that the malchus romi sent two officers to the Chachmei Yisrael, to the Chachamim, limdunu taraschem, that you should teach us your Torah. So Korah v'shano v'shulshu, so they reviewed it three times. There is a machlokes what this means. Either it means that they learned the entire Torah three times, or they learned Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. But either way, they studied the entire body of Torah with these two Roman officers. B'shas p'ti rasan, at the time that they left, Amr lahem, dikdaknu b'chol toraschem, you know what, we were ma'ayin in all of your Torah, v'emesu, and it's all true, it all makes sense. Chutz midavar zeh, shatem omrim, except for this halacha that we learned in our Mishnah. Shor shel Yisrael, shenagach shor shel Kanani poter, shel Kanani shenagach shor shel Yisrael, bein tamim mu'am, m'shalem, nezek shalem, that doesn't really seem just, and therefore the entire Torah we're maskim to, that halacha seems like a little bit twisted to us. So Rashi says that obviously the Chachamim didn't explain, oh, the reason is because it says Re'eyu, and also we have these two psukim that tell us that your money is free for us to do whatever we want, because the Chachamim were smart. They didn't want to get killed on the spot, and so they didn't start darshaning psukim to teach the Roman officers that the reason for the fact that we don't have to pay them, but they have to pay us. And then also other mefarshim struggle with, well, why didn't they just omit this halacha? Like, they didn't have to say it. But the answer is, no, you can't mislead to that extent. They asked to learn the Torah, so we had to teach them the entire Torah. So these Roman officers said, that doesn't make any sense. It's inconsistent. Mimanavshach, this is the question that the Gemara was bothered by. If the penalty for goring only applies when it's Re'eyu, then it should work both ways. When a shor owned by a goy gores a shor owned by a Jew, it should also be potter. And if Re'eyu is lavdavka, then afilu the Yisrael ki nagach the Knani l'chayiv. Then when a shor shel Yisrael gores a shor shel Knani, it should be chayiv. V'davar zeh imo diin osa l'malchus. However, we're not going to tell the kingdom about this because we agree with the rest of the Torah. The Bnei Yisraschar has an amazing remez over here. It says, I think it was said regarding Hanukkah, right? Kisvu lechem al karen asher in chelek alekei Yisrael. Yes, that's right. So I think so. So that would be an amazing dafyomi coincidence, even though it's not in the Gemara. It's the Bnei Yisraschar says, but when they refer to Keren Ashar, when the Goyim take issue with the Jewish people, what do they take issue with? Keren Ashar. In other words, they looked through the entire Torah. The only halacha that they took issue with was Keren Ashar, was about the Shor Shel Yisrael that gores the Shor Shel Kanani being Potter, whereas the Shor Shel Kanani that gores the Shor Shel Yisrael is going to be Chayev. And it turns out that they said that they were going to give Klal Yisrael a pass, but ultimately in the future they were taka mekatre Klal Yisrael because of this halacha that they thought was inconsistent. Okay, says the Gemara Navaiter. We're about 7-8 lines up from the end of the Amud. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda shchiva lebarta. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda lost his daughter. His daughter passed away. Amar lem Rabbanan le'ula. So the Rabbanan said to Ula, kum nezal nenachme, go be menachem aval to Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. So Amar le'u, mai itzli gabe Why am I going to go pay a shiva call to this Babylonian? He was from Babel, the Yidufahu, because they're blasphemers. How are the Chachamim in Babel blasphemers? The Amri, my Efshar Lamevid. Efshar Lamevid Avdi, because whenever somebody dies and when they're sitting shiva, they said, oh, what can you do? Which is mashma, that if they could do something about it, they would. And the criticism over here was that they just simply should have accepted the judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we say, Baruch Dayana Emes, when Rachmana Litzlan, somebody dies, they should have accepted it without question, and they shouldn't have gone around saying, oh, ma havelel emeved, what could we have done? And that's why they consider them blasphemers. Okay, there is a big discussion in the Achronim whether it is actually usher, in the Rishonim even, whether it is actually usher to say this. Like, are you really not to say, oh, what could we have done? There's a machlokes back and forth as to whether if you sort of express, you know, confusion or a lack of understanding, whether that's considered to be mekatreg al midas adin, or whether that is permitted. But in any event, in the Gemara, at least lefi lashon haGemara, Ula didn't like the fact that the Babylonians, when they would sit shiva, they would say, "Oh, ma havelel emeved, what can we do?" He thought that was giduf, that was blasphemy. So azal ulechudei gabe. So he went alone to pay him a shiva call. Amar lei. So he said, "Leomer Hashem, al tatzar es Moav, al tiskar bam." Do not afflict Moab. Do not do anything bad to them. Al tiskar bam milchama. Don't start up with them. V'chimal ala adato shamos alasos milchama shelo bershus. So why? In other words, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to warn Moshe to not pick a fight? Moshe wasn't going to pick a fight with anybody who HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell him to go fight with. So what was God nervous about? That Moshe all of a sudden was going to go rogue and he was going to start fighting with these various nations? Elanosa Moshe kalvachomer biyasvo. No, the reason is that Moshe made a kalvachomer. The Omer ma midyanim shalobo elalazar as Moav, madach the midyanim, who only assisted Moav in trying to fight against Klal Yisrael, Amr Torah, tzerorasim midyanim vikisim osam, that you can oppress the midyanim and you can smite them. So, turning to Lamech Chesam Abayz, Moavim Atzman lo kol shkein, so the Moavim themselves, who actually hired Bilam, right? So Bilam was from the Midianites, but the Moavim hired him to curse Klal Yisrael. Lo kol shkein, certainly you should be able to wage battle against them. The Prasha Zrachim asks Akash over here, how could Moshe Rabbeinu possibly have made this Kal V'chomer? First of all, Tosfos has an issue with the Kal V'chomer because it doesn't really work out in sequence. And then Tosfos says, no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to tell Moah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to preempt Moshe and tell him, don't fight, because he was afraid that in the future Moshe would make the Kal V'chomer. That if I'm able to fight against the Midyanim, then certainly I'm able to fight against the nation of Moab. So that's what Tosfos deals with. The Prasha Drachim deals with, how could Moshe have made this Kal V'chomer in order to support a battle against Moav, if we know that there's halacha of ein onshin min adin, that you're not allowed to punish anybody through a kal v'chomer? So isn't this his own kal v'chomer? How's he able to punish the Moavim through the kal v'chomer? So the precious Drachim explains, no, ein onshin min adin only applies to Jewish people, not to Goyim. Why would it apply only to Jews, not to Goyim? Because there is a machlokes why we say ein onshin min adin. One of the reasons for saying ein onshin min adin is because we have no idea whether the kapara that we're going to give somebody is going to be enough. In other words, whether the onesh that we're going to give somebody is enough to effectuate a kapara. So if I'm going to make myself a kal v'chomer that I need to give somebody malchus because they did avera XYZ, I have no idea whether the malchus that I gave that person is sufficient to make him a kapara. And if the malchus is not sufficient to effectuate a kapara, I didn't do anything. All I did was I beat the guy up, and then I'm going to be chayav for assaulting him. So that only applies by Jewish people where there's a kapara. Over here, these are the goyim. They don't deserve a kapara. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu could have made this kal v'chomer for himself. So in other words, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't fight with the Moavim, because he was afraid Moshe Rabbeinu would otherwise make a kal v'chomer for the, that he is able to fight the Moavim. So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo k'sholta adaitcha olsa adaiti. No, I disagree with you. Why? Because they pray those tovos because there were these two beautiful pigeons, literally these two women, sheyeshli lahotzi mehem, that I want to bring forth from Moav, Rusa Moavia v'nama hamonis. There's Rusa Moavia, there's nama hamonis, and I don't want you to destroy them because I need these descendants of Ammon and Moab to be able to be born into this world and accomplish what they need to accomplish in this world. Says the Gemara, "Valod varim kavachomer amavish vil shtei pray this tovos chasa kadosh baruch hu al beis umas gedolos velo hechrivan." Certainly, for these two women, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevented Moshe from waging battle and eradicating two entire nations just because of two worthy people. Chas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Abezum is closed, V'lo Akriven, Bito Shal Rebbe, Im Ksherehi, if she was kosher, V'ruyi, Latzes M'men Adavar Tov, and something good was going to come from her, Alachas Kama V'kama, certainly God would have spared her. So that is like a shockingly insensitive thing to say this, all right? So the Mefarshim struggle. And they say, the Nechama was that what he was trying to tell Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda was that it's obvious that your daughter accomplished everything that she was able to accomplish. She achieved her full potential in this world. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took her away. Because had she had some other potential remaining to fulfill, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given her more time on this earth. And the raya is from Ammon and Moab that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spared the entire nations just so that two of their descendants could ultimately be born and accomplish what they were supposed to accomplish. Okay, so that was his Nicham Aveilim. Don't try this at home. I think many years ago, Yami Schechter made an awesome YouTube shtick yeshivish people say at Shiva calls. It's Kedai. It's an oldie, but it's a goodie. So it's Kedai. Anyway, this is what you get when Marenu is late to come back from California. All right. So says the Gemara Vayter. So Amrav Chia Bar Abba Amrav Yochanan. Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeach Schar Shal Kol Biria Afilu Schar Sicha Noah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't withhold schar from anybody, even schar of speaking nicely. Why? Dilu Bechira the Kamrit Moav, the older daughter of Lot. This is talking about the two daughters of Lot who both slept with him after Sodom was destroyed. So the older one, they both had kids, but the older one called the child Moav. And it's a very crude way of speaking, because Moav is Me'av. It's obvious she's advertising that it came from her father. So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Al Tetzar as Moav. Al Tetzar as Moav. Do not oppress Moav. V'al Tiskar ba Melchama, and don't fight a war with them. In other words, Melchama u delo ha'anagri of it. That you can't fight a war with them, but you can assess a levy on them. You can assess a tax, meaning you can force them to provide food for you. However, Tzi'ira d'ka'amrit ben Ami, the younger daughter, after she slept with him, didn't call the child Moav. She called ben Ami, which is a more Lashon Nekiyah way of saying he's a son of my people, where you have to really be ma'ayin in the name in order to figure out that she actually slept with her father. So Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe veKarafta Mul B'nei Amon Al Tetzurim V'Al Tiskar Bam Klal. That filu anagra lo savibu, that you shouldn't oppress them at all, you shouldn't chepa with them, don't bother with them. So in other words, she was rewarded for her lashon nekiyah, because the older daughter who spoke in a more prust way, the Klal Yisrael was able to oppress her nation, but the younger daughter who spoke in a lashon nekiyah, Klal Yisrael was told not even to oppress her nation. A person should always race to do a mitzvah, he should rush to do a mitzvah, because of the one night that the older daughter slept with her father and beat the younger daughter to the punch. Kedamta arba doros liyisrael. In her descendants converted to Judaism four generations earlier than the descendants of Ammon. Because there's Oved, Yishai, David, Vishlomo, V'ilu Tzira, Ad Rechavam, Tchziv, V'shem, Imo, Nama, Hamonis. And for the Ammon, it wasn't only until Rechavam ben Shlomo, until one generation after the children of Moab converted to Klal Yisrael, to converted to Judaism, that the descendants of Ammon converted to Judaism. So here, in other words, the Gemara is obviously struggling. On the one hand, the children of Lot, the daughters of Lot, they didn't do like a good thing, but they did it l'shem shemayim. And therefore, when they were doing it l'shem shemayim, the fact that the older daughter rushed to do it l'shem shemayim, she was rewarded in that her descendants converted to Yahdus four generations before the descendants of Ammon. Okay, says the Gemara now Vayter. Tashma, now we're going to get to the halachic status of Kutim. Shor shel Yisrael shenagach shor shel Kuti pater. If a shor owned by a Jew gores a shor owned by a Kuti, the Jew is going to be pater. V'shel Kuti shenagach shor shel Yisrael tam mishalem chatzi nezek u'muan mishalem nezek shalem. But the other way it works like the regular halacha, that if the shor owned by a Kuti gores a shor owned by a Jew, if it's a tam, he has to pay only chatzi nezek. If it's a muad, he has to pay nezek shalem. So Rameir Omer, Shor Shel Yisrael Shenagach Shor Shel Kuti Pater. Rameir says, I agree with you, the Tanakama, on the first halacha, that if a shor owned by a Jew gores a shor owned by a Kuti is going to be Pater. B'shel Kuti Shenagach Shor Shel Yisrael, however, if a shor owned by a Kuti gores a shor owned by a Jew, Bein Tam, Bein Muad, Mishalim, Nezek Shalim, that he has to pay Nezek Shalim. So says the Gemara, Lameimer the Savrei Rameir Kutim Geri Araya. Same. Do you mean to tell me that Rameir holds that Kutim are Geri Arayos? That, in other words, he's going to treat them like a guy? There was a fundamental machlokas as to when the Kutim converted. Did they convert because they were Geri Emes, or did they convert because they were afraid of the lions, because they were not sincere? So when Rav Meir says that if a shor owned by a Jew gores a shor owned by a Kuti, he's exempt. But if a shor owned by a Kuti gores a shor owned by a Jew, he's chayav nezek shalem. You'll recall that's the exact same halacha that we applied legabe a goy. So if he's going to apply the same halacha to Kutim and Goyim, it's obvious that he holds that a Kuti is like a goy because he holds they were gerei arayos. I have a minu, but we'll ask Akasha. Kol aksamim abam yirekem tohrim. All ksamim, all maranida that come from rekem artar. Why? Because the Dam Akum is going to be tar, and Rekem is a place where most of the people are Nachrim, explains Rashi and Tosfos. Rav Yudah Metame Bnei Shem Gerim V'Toim. However, V'Toim. And Rav Yudah says, no, it's Tame. Why? Because they're not Goyim, they're Gerim, but they err in the Halacha. So in other words, it's blood from a Jew, from a Ger, and therefore it has Tumah. If it comes from Goyim, then it's going to be tar. In other words, he agrees with that halacha. He agrees that if it comes from Goyim, it's tar. He just disagrees with the Metzias. In Rekem, are the people Goyim or are the people Jewish? If it comes from Goyim, it's going to be tar, because Dam Nachri is going to be tar. Mibein Yisrael, Mibein Akutim, if it comes from Jewish people or Kutim, Rav Meir Metame, Rav Meir says it's Metame, Mashma, that he holds that Kutim have the same din as Yisrael, the Chachamim Mitarim, and the Chachamim say it's tar. Why? Shalom Nechshadu Al Kismayim, because they're not Nechshad on their Ksamim. Alma Ksavar Rav Meir, Kutim Gerei Emesheim. But if he holds that the Ksamim of a Kuti are Tamei, he's applying the same halacha as a Jew. But if he holds that Kutim are Jewish, how come he says that if the shor of a Jew gores the shor of a Kuti, it's Pater? If a shor of a Kuti gores the shor of a Jew, he's Chayav Nezek Shalem. That's mashma, that they're like Goyim. So what are they? Are they like Jews or are they like Goyim? So Amar Avavo, Knasu, Shekonas Rameir B'mamonam, Shalu Yitmu Bahem. That Rameir says that really they are like Jews. However, it was a Knas that Rav Meir levied on them so that we should not intermingle with them. So they're Jewish, la halacha, that's why their ksamim are going to be tamei, but in order to make a knas so that we don't live together, we gave the kutim the short end of the stick. Therefore, they're not going to want to live next to their Jewish people. It would turn out, we said that Tanakama had said that if a shor shel Yisrael gores a shor shel kuti, he's going to be pater, but if a shor shel kuti gores a shor of a Jew, bein tam bein muah mishalem, that's Rameir, the Tanakama said that tam is mishalem chatzi nezek, and a muad is mishalem nezek shalem. So either way, both according to the Tanakama and Rameir, there's a lack of reciprocity, because according to both of them, if the shor owned by a Jew gores a shor owned by a Kuti, is going to be putter. So it turns out that the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rameir is on the extent of the knas. That the Tanakama says, we're going to give a knas, but it's not a real potch. Rameir says, no, we're really going to mess him over. Because Bein tam, bein muad is mishalem nezek shalem. So most of Rav Zera, so Rav Zera now asks the kasha, ve'elu nara sheishlem knas. These are the naros that if you violate them, you have to pay the knas of 50 shekel. Habal mamzeres val nesina. If you have relations with the mamzeres and nesina val akutis or rakutis. Now, visal kadaita knas rameir b'mamonam. If you want to say the rameir applied a knas to kutim, that we don't have to pay them if we do damage. So in that case, why do you have to pay a 50 shekel knas if you violate a kutis woman, if you violate a kutis? Sachanami niknos. They're also over here. We should give them a knas. We should absolve the violator. We should absolve the rapist from paying the knas. Says the Gemara, Kadesh Leitmu Bem, so that you shouldn't intermingle with them. Samar Abaya, says Abaya, Kadesh Shelo Yehe Chote Nischar. No, it's so that the guy who does the Averis, so that the lowlife doesn't benefit. Over here, if we exempt the rapist from paying the 50 shekel knas, we're going to reward him for being a lowlife, and we don't want to reward him for being a lowlife. Says the Gemara, Venez Velaniyim, I have a good idea. We could still impose a penalty on the rapist, but not give the money to the kutis. We could force him to give the money to charity. So Amar Rav Mari, Mishum Davi Mamon Shein La Tovim. Now the problem is, then it's going to be Mamon Shein Olav Tovim. In other words, nobody is going to be able to uphold the obligation to pay the money. Why? Because if one ani goes over to him and says, hey, you owe me money, he's going to say, no, I'm going to give it to the other ani. And so on and so forth. And therefore, the only way to make sure that he actually has to pay is if we force him to pay the victim. This happens to be a little bit of akasha, according to the Mandi Amar, according to the Shita that says that Basin is considered to be like the Yadaniyim. If Basin's the Yadaniyim, why don't we just have him give it to Basin? He doesn't have to go to give it to a specific ani. So the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz answer is no. Even though the Basin is the Yad Shel Aniyim, they're not going to pursue the collection as assiduously as the actual payee of the fine is going to. So in other words, if you're obligated to pay a specific kutis, you could be darn sure he's going to come after you for the money. The basin is not going to pursue you as stringently, and therefore, in order to make sure that lo yechot niskar, even though, ordinarily speaking, we try to make a gzera that the kutim don't get money, so that we don't intermingle with them, still in the case of somebody who's ma'anes, this woman, he's going to have to pay the 50 shekel fine to the kutis. Okay, so we got to the Mishnah. My Reinu should be back from California. He will continue from the Mishnah top of Lamed Tes tomorrow. Hope everybody has a wonderful day and a Freilich in Chanukah.